Today, the International Olympics. Earlier today in Singapore, the International Olympic Committee made a long-awaited announcement.
The International Olympic Committee has the honor of announcing that the Games of the 30th Olympiad in 2012 are awarded to the city of London.
But not everyone in London was cheering about the city's victory over rival Paris. In the east end of the city, there was a pocket of stunned silence. With the announcement, more than 300 business owners learned that the British government would be buying their properties under the rule of compulsory purchase, which is like our eminent domain, to make way for the new Olympic Stadium and other Olympic facilities. To hear more about the highs and lows in the east end, we turn to Helen Rumbelow, political correspondent for the Times of London. She joins us from her office in London. Thanks for being with us, Helen.
Good afternoon. Hello.
What was the mood in the East End earlier today? You were there. Can you describe it for us?
Well, it was definitely a tale of two Olympics. For those people unfortunate enough to live or work in the site where the Olympic Village is going to be, absolute, as you said, stunned silence, very gloomy. Basically now their jobs and their livelihoods are at stake. But for everyone around that site, extreme euphoria, absolute jubilation. Like, I mean, they said to me, you know, this is the best thing that's ever happened here. So absolutely kind of historic scenes, really, in East London.
Yeah. Those 300 businesses, what becomes of them? What are their options? They just have to go out of business, or can they move? What are their options?
Well, what they're being offered is the market value for their property, but that market value doesn't reflect the property price rises as a result of the Olympics. So it sounds a little complicated, but what it means in effect is that they're going to have to move a long way away from where they are now in order not to kind of suffer as a result of this decision. And, of course, you know, it's a huge disruption to their business to have to move right now.
And how will they be compensated?
They will. Well, this is another problem. The compensation only kicks in within about 3 to 7 years, and that will take the form of a payment for their property. But it is frankly not a very good deal for them. And I think some of them, they haven't actually come to a decision today, but some of them are thinking of suing.
What is this part of the city like? Tell us a little bit about the East End for those of us here in the United States who don't know too much about it.
Well, historically, it's been a place which has been a kind of the first port of entry for immigrants. I don't know if you know the way that the wind blows in London, but it's always been much better to live in the West End, and the West End has got a reputation for where the wealthy people live. You know, it's very green, it's very pleasant. Whereas the East End, for centuries now, has been the poorest and most industrial area. So, I mean, for instance, the first immigrants were the French who came to live in East London, then the Jewish people, and more recently it's been the Bangladeshis and so on. They say now that about 2/3 of the population there is an immigrant population, and it's also the third poorest borough in Britain. So it's an extremely deprived area.
How much has the British media focused on this aspect of the story?
Well, I mean, actually, the Olympic bid focused on it because one of their main arguments is that it's a regeneration bid. So they tried to persuade the Olympic Committee that this was a new kind of Olympics that would actually transform London. Obviously, the businesses who are going to have to move don't agree, and the figures are very difficult to kind of verify because some of them are obviously projected into the future. But, you know, the British Olympic bid said that, you know, let's say 12,000 jobs are going to be created by this Olympics.
So 300 businesses are being affected, but 12,000 jobs are being created. So.
Exactly. It's this kind of very hard-headed kind of calculation they've had to make. I mean, the businesses disagree with that. They say 11,000 jobs are going to be lost, but it's very hard to judge on that. Who's right?
Now, you were saying that there may be some lawsuits about this. Will they get very far, do you think, or what are the grounds, or...?
It's tough to say. I mean, at the moment, that's the law as it stands. And really, I think their best court is the court of public opinion. If they can win enough if they can win enough support from the public. But at the moment, there's such a mood of euphoria here. I mean, I've just been walking through the streets of central London. People are still heading to Trafalgar Square. And I think these people are the sacrificial lambs of today's success story. You know, I really feel that they've been very unlucky. So I doubt they'll get very far.
I'm amazed to hear you say people are still in Trafalgar Square. That's a very long time to be celebrating.
I know. And for the British who don't normally let their hair down today, I mean, people are walking around with smiles on their face. Everyone's saying hello to each other. That's unprecedented. So, I mean, really, really amazing. And especially in East London where, you know, the businesses there that are going to benefit. For instance, I went to an estate agent. He said as soon as the win was announced, the phone started ringing, and they haven't stopped ringing, of people wanting to invest in the area. So this is going to be incredible for some of those businesses around the zone.
But those businesses that are being forced out won't get those kinds of prices, will they, when they are compensated by the government, I would imagine?
Exactly. That's their big problem. But, I mean, to look at it another way, if you the area where those businesses are, if you went there just as a, you know, a pedestrian on a walk, I think most Americans coming there would be appalled that somewhere like that could exist so close to central London, because it really is a Dickensian scene. You know, there's a crumbling Victorian factories just lying in piles of rubble, these network of canals which are now totally polluted and you know, filled with rubbish. And it really is a kind of wasteland. There are businesses there, but it's an area that's been crying out for a little bit of attention for you know, decades. So I mean, that's the positive side of that story.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Helen.
Thank you.
Helen Rumbelow is a political correspondent for the Times of London, and she joined us from her office in London. And we are joined now by someone who is not smiling about the Olympics coming to London. Lance Foreman is the owner of H. Foreman & Sons in London, the oldest salmon smokery in England. And he joins us by phone from his home in London. Thanks so much for being with us, Mr. Foreman.
Thanks for listening.
Now, I understand that your business is one of those East End businesses that is slated to be bulldozed. Is that right?
Absolutely. We are located right in the middle of where the main stadium will be built. We've only just relocated into this particular site. We've always been based in this part of town for the last 100 years. But we built a brand new factory and moved into it 2.5 years ago. And we were part of the regeneration process. And we have a state-of-the-art factory. It's the most fantastic premises. And we invested an enormous amount of money to build this place. And within a year of moving in, the government said, we need you out.
Yeah. And as I understand it, your great-grandfather founded this company, and its salmon is world-renowned.
Absolutely. We're generally regarded by chefs and food writers as market leaders in our field. We export our smoked salmon all over the world to the finest hotels, quite a few in the UK as well.
What kind of compensation have you been offered by the government?
Well, we haven't really been offered anything at all, but the businesses aren't really looking for compensation. You know, what the Mayor of London has said is that we will make sure that these businesses get market value for their sites. But that's like offering market value for a parachute to a passenger on a plane that's about to crash. You know, market value isn't any use to them. You need a parachute. We need a piece of land and we need a factory so that we can carry on trading. We don't want, you know, monetary compensation. That's not going to help us.
And so you don't think you're going to be paid enough that you would be able to relocate somewhere in a comparable setting?
Well, that's right, because the area, the 500-acre site on which the Olympic stadiums and facilities will be built, have been blighted for the last 2 years. So the land values are very depressed. Whereas all surrounding the site, land values have been appreciating, there's regeneration going on, and overnight, now, suddenly prices are going to jump again. And all the compensation that the businesses are being offered is a depressed, blighted value, and that'll never be sufficient to enable them to relocate outside.
So are you going to court? Is there a group of businesses that are getting together and going to go to court and oppose this?
Well, we have to examine all our options. And I heard your previous interviewee say that it's the court of public opinion that we really need. And I think that we will get the court of public opinion because what the business is, and, you know, there are 300 businesses employing 11,000 people. What they need is a guarantee that if they have to relocate, that relocation is funded by the government. No one is looking to profiteer from this. That's not what this is about. And I think if anyone was in our position and they were being kicked out of their homes or evicted from their factories or their homes, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask that the new home that we go to should be funded by the government. I think that's a very reasonable thing to ask for, and I think that most people would see that.
Yeah, and in that court of public opinion, I mean, are you getting much public support right now from everything we're hearing over here? Everything today has been all about celebrating this. Are people interested in hearing about this problem?
Well, today's probably not a fair day to judge because, of course, it is right that people should celebrate. And we would love to be part of that celebration, but unfortunately, we're not in a position to celebrate at this moment in time. But it has been very hard for us and for our fellow business people to get public opinion and get the news story across in the last 18 months because all the British media have been afraid of reporting this story in case they would have the finger pointed at them that they're damaging London's bid hopes. So, you know, we've had numerous journalists come to see us over the last 18 months and they say, oh, this is a really, you know, it's a brilliant story. There's a real injustice going on here. You know, we want to write about this. And then suddenly the story would just evaporate because the editors didn't want to report it because they didn't want, as I say, they didn't want to have the finger pointed at them that they're damaging London's bid hopes. The London bid team has done a phenomenally good job and a very aggressive job of getting all the British media on side. Now that we've won the games, hopefully we'll have a bit of justice and hopefully the story will get across and, you know, and hopefully the public will support us. The Olympic Games should be good for the whole of Britain. You
good
know,
luck
no
with
one
your...
should suffer. And, you know, we would love to celebrate with the rest of our fellow citizens. And I think that, you know, it wouldn't be unreasonable for them to expect us to celebrate with them, too.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today, Mr. Foreman. Lance Foreman is the owner of H. Foreman & Sons, the oldest salmon smoker in England, and he joined us by phone from his home in London. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.